This episode of Asian Glow Podcast is brought to you by Anchor. This is what I use to make this podcast happen. If you haven't heard about Anchor by Spotify, it's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. You can distribute your podcast on all listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And I think Asian Glow Podcast is on like 7 different platforms. Anchor is everything you need to start and make a podcast. And as a college student, the best part is Anchor is totally free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Thank you to Anchor for sponsoring this episode of Asian Glow Podcast. Bros,
Asian Glow gangsters,
yuck. I'm your host, Clarence Angelo. Welcome to season 2 of Asian Glow Podcast. And in this season, I'll actually be doing it alone. And maybe just maybe might have some people you might recognize as guests on a future episode. Now, you may be asking, where is the video format? Now, I actually have a new series on my YouTube channel. So that is the kind of videos I will be doing on there for now. And also, no video because there's not much to see here visually, I promise. I'm in my boxers on my bed, hanging upside down with my legs propped up against the wall, like my feet are up against the wall, because they hurt like a bitch. I'm living in Europe, and I'm living here for the next couple of months, and fuck my life. These European bitches like to walk everywhere. So my feet hurt because they like to walk everywhere. They don't drive. They don't do none of that. They like the environment. So honestly, kind of a good thing. So anyways, I figured out I was leaving a bunch of you guys behind that listened to the audio format. And I saw that there was literally thousands of y'all that listen. And holy shit. One, thank you so freaking much. And two, why would I ever want to leave you? So the vibe of this season 2, is going to be a little bit different. I mean, Irene and Grace aren't here. Irene can't say stupid funny shit, and Grace can't say stupid funny shit out of pocket shit. So, of course, it's going to be a little different, and the intended vibe of season 2 is it's kind of like this. I noticed that when it comes to Gen Z podcasts and such, a lot of us, I'm speaking for my friends and, like, my community, love to listen to comedy podcasts and comedy podcasts solely. And don't get me wrong, I love comedy podcasts. I think they're amazing. I think I listen to like 2 a day. But with all that we go through as like Gen Z Asians, maybe, I think it would be cool to talk about like life sometimes. And mostly because we got shit to unpack. And like we got some reflection to do, love, and areas to grow in. So at worst, if this season sucks balls, my intent was for this to help us all in a way, and for this to simply not, como se dice, suck balls. So for this week, something I have been thinking about recently is this concept of guilt. I'm going to name it first generation guilt. The concept that you as a kid, a young adult, if probably, get to live like a really cool life compared to your parents at this age. Like, you feel like, oh, this is unfair that I get to live like this and my parents didn't get to live like this. Like, they worked harder than I did at this age. Like, yada, yada, yada. It's that concept, first generation guilt. And before I go into this concept for this week, I wanted to put out the disclaimer that first gen kids are not all the same. Like, we have such different, like, spectrums. We could be different financially, like, have a different financial background. Socially, have a different social background. Our relationships with our parents might be different. You know what I mean? But overall, for this like episode, I will try my very best to speak from my experience and the community and friends that I am surrounded by that I know. So just a quick disclaimer for that. The start of this idea for this episode came from something that happened recently in my life. So I'm here in Europe and I'll be living here for the next 4 months. And I am studying abroad. And of course, when you're in Europe, like, because everything is so close, you go on these really cool trips on the weekends, like, and excursions that you and your friends plan. Well, I'm studying here in Milan, Italy, and a couple weeks ago, we went to Venice for the weekend, just to, like, have an Airbnb there, like, whatever. And at Venice, like, if you guys don't know what Venice, where it is, and, like, what the city is like, it's the city in Italy that everyone sees pictures of, like, a gondola or like the boat that someone's like rowing a boat and you're like sitting with the love of your life next to you like on this boat in the super romantic city, and that's how it is in the movies. And let me tell you, fuck my life, it's exactly like that in real life. That shit is just as romantic. It's, like, so pretty, and, like, it sucks that it's that romantic. Oh, my God. So, anyways, in Venice, me and my friends that were studying abroad, I think there was, like, 10 of us, or, like, maybe 8, we were having dinner at the dock right next to the Mediterranean Sea at sunset already. Like, you can imagine how pretty this was, right? We were having dinner, and our food didn't come out yet, so we ordered, like, a wine, like, and, like, whatever. Like, we all had, like, a little glass of wine. And we always like to do a cheers, of course, and we were trying to figure out what to do a cheers to. And I suggested, like, maybe we should cheers to our parents, because, like, without them, we wouldn't be living this really, like, cool, fortunate life. Like, this is really, really, like, main character movie type shit that we're going through. And, like, we're about to literally clink a glass, a wine glass, filled with Italian wine, in Venice, next to water, surrounded by a cathedral. Like, it was fucking crazy. So we should give this to our parents. Like, salute, cheers to our parents for this, you know? And so we all, like, came to the agreement. Like, of course, like, we'll do a cheers to this, like, blah, blah. We should really thank our parents. So I got back from Venice that weekend, and I called my mom immediately, and I was telling her about this cheers that me and my friends did. And I was, like, telling her, like, I'm sad that you've never been to Venice. I'm sad that you never, like, I was here first. Like, I wanted to thank you for letting me live a life like this and, like, doing what you needed to do. It just feels weird that I got to do it first. And I hope it didn't come off to my mom that I was, like, bragging and, like, saying, I did it first. No, I really did feel bad because this woman worked her ass off. And my mom, like, her first thing was, like, of course, like, I love you. I'm so happy you're experiencing a life like that. But the second thing she said was, like, this emotion of guilt needs to go. Like, you deserve it, and this is just getting in the way of your experience. And that is true. For example, I know I said the really, really crazy romanticized example, but this can apply to situations like if you got into a really good university, or if you're literally going to a university, you got a good job. You're going to prom in a really nice dress. You got nice clothes. You're even going, like, as simple as going to high school. Like, sometimes when you experience things like that, that are really big landmarks for your education, your progress, your just general, I guess, journey to your own life. When you hit those landmarks that maybe your parents didn't necessarily hit or got to experience, you kind of do, like, wonder, like, damn, this is great. I'm sad my parents didn't experience this. This sucks that they did the work that got me here, but they didn't get to experience this at like such a young age, right? And my mom was saying, like, get rid of that emotion. And, like, granted, how the fuck are you supposed to get rid of an emotion? Like, it literally just came over me. I can't just be like, stop, brain, don't feel guilty. Like, you can't just do that, right? So I was doing a little bit of reflection, love, and I was realizing that this guilt that I have, first generation guilt that I'm going to coin it as, is a mix of gratefulness and a lack of self-value. I know that sounds like tough, a lack of self-value. It's not as dark as it seems. I'll explain. As a first generation kid, first generation meaning that my parents are immigrants and I am born in a first world country. In my case, it would be America. I was born in America. My mom was born in the Philippines. She was an immigrant. Yeah, yeah. That's what first gen kid means. As a first-gen kid, there's a mix of either you grow up super rich or really not at all, right? As a kid, me and my mama, we were not financially comfortable, if to put it in perspective. I was born in Princeton, New Jersey, but I was raised in San Francisco. And raised in San Francisco, I mean, I lived in a garage in San Francisco. It wasn't, like, the best situation. I didn't go to the best preschool necessarily, but now, of course, my mom girl bossed her way to be financially stable. I picked up a few jobs along the way. We're all good. But, like, we didn't start off that way. Like, in elementary school, we were kind of hopping house to house, you know? So, with that being said, as a kid, anytime I saw other friends in elementary school, oh my God, in elementary school specifically, and in middle school, anytime I saw my friends go on, like, extravagant vacations or extravagant Friday dinners, I never really considered that to be a possible reality for me. And it wasn't necessarily even a bad thing. Like, honestly, when I was a kid, I had a friend. Oh my God, let me give you an example. In elementary school, I had a best friend. Her name, I'm gonna keep private, but I love her to death. Nothing bad happened between us. I just don't live in San Francisco anymore. I remember every summer break she would go to Hawaii, and I don't remember being jealous. Like, again, I didn't think of it as my own. Hawaii was never a reality for me. I never really got jealous. I never was like, Mom, why can't we go to Hawaii? Like, that sucks that she gets to go and I don't get. No, I never was like that, because I didn't really care. But I guess the side effect of that friend going to Hawaii every break was that I had this really, like, crazy weird obsession and image of Hawaii as a kid. It's not that I wanted to go, but I always had, for really no other reason, this crazy fun image, because my best friend goes to Hawaii all the time, so, like, it had to be fun. But I always knew, like, that kind of paradise could never happen. It was expensive, it was too far, it's just not something that my life would have in it. So, this mindset of, like, I can't really live like that, it's okay, went for everything. Like, everything, even in middle school, it came to like, oh, I can't get the nicest track cleats because those are a little too expensive for my life. I can't get the nicest Lululemon shorts in middle school, you know, not for me. So in a way, it's like a lack of self-value. And the way that this kind of translates to that guilt is that now that I have experienced this crazy romanticized life of clinking wine in Venice, along the canals, and like, I'm here in Italy, like, I don't think my brain can wrap my head around it, because as a kid, I could never consider this to be my life. So it's a lack of self-value that kind of drives this guilt, right? But it's not a lack of self-value in a way that's like, I hate myself, but rather in a way that's like, whoa, my life has never been one to have the privilege to experience this level of things. My friends, I'm sure, are so bothered by this, but I keep saying everywhere we go, I'm not cool enough for this shit. Quote, I'm not cool enough for this shit. Like, I freak out when I see a really nice view. I'm like, I'm not cool enough for this shit. What the fuck? And it's because of this whole, like, foundation of, like, me being like, ugh, it's okay, whatever, I won't have it. So that's like a really big issue, and like, I bring that up because a lot of my Asian friends and a lot of us first gen kids are like, hell yeah, that is something that I think all the time when I experience something fun. Like, that's a big issue, and I'm not going to bring it up and not give you guys like solutions, because the whole point of this podcast is to Asian glow up. Solutions. I have three that I had in mind, and the first thing is to always extend your gratefulness. When you have this guilt, when you have this gratefulness, a part of it is internalized because it's kind of irrational. Like, it's just in your brain. It's like the stupid voice in your brain that's like, you should feel guilty because your parents never got to live like this, blah, blah, blah. It's internalized 100%. So once you extend your gratefulness, one, say it out loud to yourself, like, okay, I am grateful that I get to see and clink wine with my friends. Say it out loud. And two, actually let the person, your guardian, your parent, the subject of your gratefulness, aware of your gratefulness. It kind of puts this relief in you that at the very, very least, they know that I am not taking this for granted and that I love them enough to say, like, I am grateful for you because I am grateful that I got to experience this, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is, for the most part, this is everything your parents ever wanted for you. For like, a good parent wants the best for their kid, right? Think about it like this. Everyone in their life, I heard this in my ethics class, everyone in their life has at least one really big dream. While yours may be to be a doctor, to be a pop sensation, to be at the Met Gala one day, or graduate college with a good job. Those are really valuable things to you, right? You have to realize that the value that that has to you, like that insane, crazy value that that has to you, is the same exact value that your parents had with the idea of moving to a first world country. A lot of the times it's America, right? In my case, it's America at the very least, but you get the gist. My mom's biggest effing dream was to somehow get to America, somehow get a green card, whatever that process is, and live a life that supports her child. So boom, when I live a really, really cool life, in a way, or when you live a really cool life, in a way, you executing and you living that life is something that to some extent could potentially make your parents proud, and probably does make your parents really proud of you, of themselves, of their progress, of their work, whatever. So in the end, good parents are going to be like, I'm so happy my kid is happy. Like, everything that I live for, like, and have done is for this kid to be happy. So, like, that's kind of cute that you're kind of guilty in a way. So that's one thing. And granted, wait, if you are, like, a little fuck spending all their money on these extravagant vacations, like, whatever, that's a different story. But, like, you know, you get it. The last thing is to return the favor. So you are able to live a good life because of your parents. So take them out to dinner once, and everything is paid for by you, right? Like a nice dinner. And sometimes, if that's too expensive, you could write a letter to them, like a really heartfelt letter, pulling every little heartstring that you have out of yourself, paint something for them, do something that involves you putting energy into something and giving that to them. Could also be cooking something. Oh my God, cooking something. That's like the best shit recently. Anything that involves your own labor. So, like, when you cook something, you are putting your own energy into a pan, into food, and then you are giving this product of your energy to someone that you love as a symbol of, here is my labor. I am willing to take time out of my life and put that into you, right? Some call this the love language, acts of service. And as we Asian kids all know, as we all fucking know, emotional connections with our parents can be sometimes hard. Just sometimes hard. They don't like to say I love you very often, at least explicitly, you know. They don't, I don't know many Asians whose parents like look at their kid dead in the eye and like, I love you. Like, that is just not a very Asian thing. Like, emotional quotients just not developed like that. But you know your parents' form of love is often acts of service, whether it be like providing food for you at the dinner table every night, or moving houses so that you're in a better school district so that you can have a better education, etc. Acts of service that set you up for success is their love language. So boom, doing acts of service to them, such as cooking a dinner for them, buying them a dinner, painting, writing a letter, whatever, is exactly what would work for them as a communication that you love them and you are grateful for what they've done for your life, right? So if the first thing that I told you to extend your gratefulness, like literally communicatively, doesn't work, this could potentially like make up for that. You know what I mean? This part of the podcast is a part that I like to call Asians Answer. Aw, I'm doing that alone. I miss you, Irene and Grace. This part of the podcast is where I have a few questions that you guys send over on my Instagram about advice, things that about being Asian, whatever you guys want from me. First question is, someone asked, how do you find the right people to be friends with in school? Oh my God, I think this question is so funny because I feel like I'm actively still asking myself that. Like, I'm older, I'm like in the older part of college, right? And I still ask myself this shit. There is no right way to find like your friends or the right people, quote unquote, in school or just in general, because I mean, okay, wait, let me backtrack. I mean, there's like the basic things, like if someone is calling other people out based on their appearance, actively harming others around them, that are obvious like red flags, like they effing suck. But most of the time it's like harder than that, because a first impression can like be good or bad, and so like you're kind of like wedging it off of that. But in general, here is my advice for this question. I don't think like you should never shut yourself off from someone that you think could potentially be a friend or probably could not be a friend, because odds are your first impression, like as much as we like to think that we're really good at first impressions, it's probably not 100% right. So if you do shut yourself off immediately from someone that you think could be a friend, could not be a friend, it'll be much harder for you to find the quote unquote right people. The action of finding the right people in your friends, the right friends, is trial and error. It's quite literally trial and error. The more people that you meet, the more likely you are to make a really good connection with someone and, like, move the relationship forward. What does the right people mean in the first place? Like, I feel like the right people in your life are the people that promote your individualism as well as promote, like, social entertainment. So let me explain. A good friend and a good friend group is one that, like, wants the best for you in terms of your career, your health, and just your overall, like, independence, but also can be there when you are socially looking for entertainment and, like, a foundation socially, right? Those are what I believe to be the right people. Like, they call you out whenever you're maybe not going on the right track, or they don't think you're doing good for your own health, but also are there to, like, make you laugh, have a good time with, etc. So, in general, how to find the right people with friends at school, just keep meeting more people, because the more you do, the more likely you are to finally find someone that is pretty cool. You meet someone, they introduce you to someone else, bada bing, bada boom, you meet more people. Someone asked, how to express yourself online? I had some anxiety about starting this podcast and, like, continuing on season two with topics like this, because I am so afraid that I am not qualified enough to be talking on things, like, period. Like, I feel like even in school, like, am I qualified enough to be presenting on this historical event or this business operation that this company, like, I just feel like at all times I'm, like, wondering if I'm qualified enough to even, like, give advice or, like, help someone, you know, because I don't want to give the wrong advice, because I know how it feels to be given wrong advice. So anyways, I just went on a tangent, but how to express yourself online. I'm actively always thinking about this as well. But in general, I hate to say it, guys. You're going to click off. You're going to click off so fast after I say this. But you have to be yourself. You have to be yourself. Ew, I said it. I said the BY phrase. Be yourself. If it helps, Aristotle, you know that guy? Big old guy. He's like a philosopher and some shit. He said that life is nothing but the strive to self-actualization. Ooh, that's deep. Okay, stop cringing. This is serious. Self-actualization is a realization or fulfillment of one's talents and potentialities. Potentialities. I'm reading the definition on Google. Especially considered as a drive or need present in everyone. So basically just like being the best version of yourself. Yada, 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 Aristotle. You could have just said it that way. So if life is nothing but the strive to self-actualization, if you're doing everything but trying to be yourself, then, like, you're going the wrong way. But I found that in my year of doing content, I've only been doing content for a year, I got the best results and I got the most fulfillment when I was fully 100% myself. And even today, sometimes it's hard for me to, like, to just, like, get past my own brain, because to be yourself is extremely hard. Because when you are and people hate it, oh, how do you not take that personally, you know? But when you do, it always, like, the benefits always outweigh, like, the embarrassment, the vulnerability of being yourself. So how to express yourself online? Simply know exactly who you are with your friends and, like, who the type of person your friends love and who you love, and just put that on the internet. It'll take a couple tries. Let me tell you, like, if you want to be a content creator, like, you will be cringy, hunty. You'll be cringy boots, whatever they say, because it's a learning curve. Like, being yourself is a learning curve. So anyways, went too long on that question. Last question is, someone asked, in school, kids come up to me and say racist things. Oh shit. Should I do something or just let it happen? Okay, I don't want to give the wrong advice here. I love this question because if you watch, I think it was like literally the first episode or maybe the first clip on TikTok, I was called, this is like not even that bad, but I was bullied heavy in preschool. I don't really remember much of it, but like in middle school, I was called Far East Movement, which looking back on it, kind of good, like kind of smart, bruh. But it's the band that sang Like a G6 and like they're all Asians and like, I'm Asian, so do the math. Distributive property, boom, I'm Far East Movement. I have experiences, so I think I do have some say in this question. First thing I'm going to say is don't give the person that's calling you names the energy. When someone is calling you names or quote-unquote bullying, you have to realize that they are actively looking for attention and seeking attention in places where it's not going to be constructive for them. Maybe they're deprived of attention at home, deprived of attention in their friend group, yada, yada, yada. But they are seeking that from you because they are not getting it somewhere else. So if you give them the energy, it gives them the motivation and the addiction to kind of call you that name again. That's just the reality of it. So don't give them the energy. Rule number one. And I'm not sure what your situation is. Let's say your situation is someone in your friend group is kind of like picking on you and like is calling you names, right? Or maybe a couple people in your friend group are picking you and calling and saying names. In that situation, I think say it out loud. Say like, hey, yo, that hurt my feelings. Or hey, can you not call me that? Because that kind of sucks. Like, it makes me feel like shit. It really doesn't make me feel good. If you say that out loud to the person that's calling you names in your friend group, in front of your other friends, it puts the responsibility on them. Because if they continue to call you names, someone in your friend group is going to notice that you said, hey, that hurt my feelings. And they're going to notice that that person's still calling you that name. And it's going to kind of make people more empathetic towards you, if that makes sense. But in this scenario, I'm trying to think of myself in middle school, of someone random that you don't even know, like, calling you names, just randomly, like, not even in your friend group, they're just, like, being a total douche. Again, don't give them the energy, but I maybe wouldn't say, like, hey, that hurt my feelings, even in a cool way, like, don't even say, like, oh, like, can you not do that? Because, like, the reality is middle school kids are not gonna care. Like, I feel like they're just really not gonna have the social intellect to realize that, hey, yo, that hurt their feelings, I should stop. Like, no. You not giving them the energy is you recognizing, like, okay, let me put it like this. If you were to lash back at them, if you were to, like, be like, oh my God, why did you call me that? You are taking time away from yourself to develop yourself past whoever's calling you that name. The person that's calling you that name is already kind of an idiot and already kind of like not letting themselves grow by putting others down. So just take pride in knowing that if you were to fight them back, you would be kind of like, and like hurt their feelings back, you would be stooping down to the level, their level. And you not giving them the energy and like keeping your confidence is you continuously being a better person than they already are. So just know it's going to go away. If you continue to grow and develop in yourself, it'll give you the confidence, it'll give you the emotional, physical, whatever, glow up that you need to shut them up in the future. But in the end, in the case that if someone's calling you a name that or escalates to like literal, like you are scared to go to school, you are shaking going to school, it becomes like a threat and it's affecting your education, bitch! Bring a parent, a teacher, a principal, an old mofo in the situation. And I know you'll be afraid to be like a tattletale. Don't be a tattletale. But I swear in like years time, no one remembers who the tattletale is. Like years, sometimes even a couple months, no one even remembers that you're a tattletale. Like I can't tell you who was a tattletale in middle school for me. I can't tell you who was a tattletale in high school for me. Like not at all. It's something that as you grow up, you respect it and you respect someone actively seeking help because that's something that's really hard to do. Just know, I would never call you a name. If anything, I would go up to you and hug you. So with that being said, here is my vocal hug to you guys because that is the end of episode 1 of season 2 of Asian Glow with Clarence Angelo. Thank you guys for listening. I love you guys so much. I'm going to say bye in my respective language like I always do. 1, 2, 3. Ingat.